No, it was the werewolf scene at the beginning that did it for me.
It wasn't the licking your ass part.
No, no, I was fine with him licking my ass. It was the
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Russ.
And I'm the other half, Sean. We welcome any feedback and comments at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's JARPPODCAST.
Oh.
And Apple Podcasts. I don't know their website, but I'm sure you can find Apple no problem. Or Carrier Pigeons, they're good too. You could use that. Yeah, Russ?
Thanks, Sean. This podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-episode. And this week it's Shadow and Bone, Episode 1, A Searing Burst of Light on Netflix. This episode will be a conversation about what you've just watched.
And if you haven't seen the first episode of Shadow and Bones, then you better turn this off, go watch it right now, or just you're warned, because there's going to be spoilers ahead. But alongside with our review of Shadow and Bone, we will also be pairing it with a movie from our childhood.
Yes, in this episode, we will be looking back at the 1988 film, Willow.
Yes, yes. Let's get into it.
So,
tell me about this show. Where's it at? Shadow and Bone. Where'd you find it?
Let me tell you, Sean. Buckle up.
Tell me.
Baby.
Tell me.
This show is called Shadow and Bone, like we've mentioned already many times. It's on the Netflix. And who's in it, you ask? No, you didn't. But Jesse May Lee, who is going to be in the upcoming Edgar Wright movie, Last Night in Soho, with Anya Taylor-Joy. What?
Our favorite.
So she plays the main character, and her name Alina Starkov. And alongside her, there's kind of two factions in the show. So you've got like the Jesse May Lee faction on one side of the fold, and on the other side of the fold, you've got a little party of good-looking thieves led by Freddie Carter. Where do we know Freddie Carter from? He was in the show Pennyworth, as in like Alfred Pennyworth. I never saw that.
Me neither.
But I guess there was a show about the Alfred as a boy, as a young lad. I guess Alfred maybe kicked ass when he was younger, and then
like Batman's butler, Alfred,
before he
there's
became
a show all about Alfred
being like a kind of a maybe a superhero, I guess.
What?
Yeah,
and that's called Pennyworth.
Yeah, oh. So you gotta look that up. Go in the rabbit hole.
Shit.
Every time Sean swears, he puts a coin in the jar. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, they know the deal by swear jar.
Also, in Shadow and Bone, there is Amita Suman, who was in The Outpost. It's a CW show. I never saw it. And Ben Barnes, which we may recognize from Westworld, but he wasn't in the first episode, so I guess he'll be coming up in future episodes. Though I think they allude to his character quite a bit. They kind of make mention of this kind of hierarchical magic user guy who's kind of overseeing this this voyage, and
General Kerrigan.
Right, there you go. So I believe that's who Ben Barnes is playing. Did you watch Westworld?
I did.
Yeah, you've watched all three seasons.
I have. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. This show, Shadow and Bones, was created by Eric Heiserer, and Eric was he was responsible for Arrival and Bird Box, another such fun movies, based on the books by Lee Bardugo. And first episode was directed by Lee Toland Krieger.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. I should point out, Sean, that that this show was brought to us by 21 Laps Entertainment, the guys who created Dash and Lily, your favorite show.
Yay!
The show was filmed in Budapest and Hungary and supposedly Vancouver. I was excited about this show. I didn't know much. I've never read the books, so I'm not a fan. Okay,
so yeah, so this is based off books. They say it's a Netflix original series, but it's
yeah,
the content's out there already as in book form.
Exactly. Another like trying to take an existing property and making it a big freaking deal on streaming platform.
Right.
Like, you know, Game of Thrones. Right. A synopsis that I stole from the internet. Dark forces conspire against orphan mapmaker Alina Starkov when she unleashes an extraordinary power that could change the fate of her war-torn world. And we see that by the end of the episode. The power that she had no idea she had. I don't think she knew that she had this power. Which revealed at the end of the episode that she is a sun summoner. Yeah, it's not bad.
I just ruined it.
Oh, shit. Did you not see it? You saw
I'm just kidding.
Closed your eyes.
Well, we did warn everybody there was spoilers. I just mean you skipped to the end already.
Oh, episode's over. Podcast is done. Thanks,
bye.
Everybody. Bye. I made a little breakdown because it is a little because we're
wait, we need a jingle. Go.
Because thank you, jingle. Because it is a new world and there are rules in this world and there are factions in this world and it's a new geography that we're not aware of, I kind of made a little bit of a breakdown. So we're in the fantasy kingdom of Ravka. In the middle of Ravka is a Shadowfold, which I guess is kind of like the overall antagonist of some sort to the conflict. Maybe not the antagonist, the conflict of our story.
It's and some mysterious section of land that's covered in shadow and darkness.
And, right. And I believe it was created by the magic, like the Grisha, which the Grisha are like the same. Instead of calling someone a wizard or mage, they're the Grisha.
It's their name for a magical person.
Yeah, you're a Grisha, Harry. What? To me, the Grisha seem very elemental. Like there's either like wind or there's fire or there's water. Yeah.
Seems kind of like last airbendery mm-hmm. to me. They just mm-hmm. Each one, they, you know, exactly like you said, it's all the four elements: earth, yeah. wind, fire, and water. Did you see any water benders?
I think remember when they were in the camp and there was like one girl like lighting a flame and another girl was extinguishing it with water.
She might have just been blowing it out.
Yeah, she was blowing it. I think there was
seen water benders yet. I don't think.
Well, that's water Grisha,
right?
So when we talk about the fold, inside the fold there's the Volkra and they're carnivorous winged creatures.
Nasty
creatures. So we do see them a little bit in this first episode. It's not a full on look, but you get the idea of it. I'm sure it's a big undertaking as far as special effects and cost to get them fully in the shot, but we get the idea. So that's the world that we live in. There's also something called.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining it because you did a better job there in a couple of sentences than the show did. That's for sure.
Well, I think you know the world of. Having to do a little bit of homework when you watch these shows, this is the world we live in. So, you know, or else you're just going to have to catch up, you know, after five or six episodes, suddenly things are going to start to click. So, I mean, I read all the George R. R. Martin books. So I was aware of Game of Thrones, but I remember talking to people who had never read the books, but were keeping like cheat sheets when they watched the show, like who's this again? Okay. Who's this person connected with this person? So, and you know, that was a big show. People were willing to do it for that. So are they going to be willing to do it for this show will be the question. So character breakdown.
I guess so they're relying on people to get a little bit invested into this.
I think so. Saying. I think so. It's not just...
it is a little confusing. Either it's overcomplicated or they're not explaining enough. I'm not
right.
sure.
I think...
I'm a little lost
yeah.
in this episode, you know. I'm not quite sure. You sort of know what's going on, but I'm also kind of lost at the same time. I don't quite understand this world, and I'm fine with not understanding it, but it's almost like the way that they're telling us and explaining everything is like I'm supposed to understand and know everything before yeah. watching this show.
They want you to jump right in, would be my assumption.
I could have used maybe like a little...
Yeah.
What, a prologue. Is that what it is? Like a little...
Yeah.
Maybe even just 30 seconds of, Yeah. In this world, there's, and it's separated by.
Yeah, a little.
And they know this, you know, like, I don't really like being told everything, but in this circumstance where it's a very complicated kind of, you know, detailed world, it might not hurt to have a little extra exposition just at the beginning. Yeah.
Just little Kate Blanchett kind of talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. Just something to maybe just explain it a little bit more.
Sure.
Because I got a little lost.
Well, this is...
Or disinterested. I don't know. It was either one or the other.
Sure. This is why I'm here for you, okay? So, Alina Starkov, our protagonist. She lives in the east side of Ravka, right? And she is a cartographer. And she is, I guess, at a camp where they're sending a crew through the fold to get to West Ravka. And I believe they're doing it. It's like a supply run. So they got to get supplies.
Yeah, they're sending a convoy through this fold from one side to the other.
Super dangerous. Crush, Mal. That's her long-term crush.
Her childhood
crush,
best friend / I don't know. Do you think they've had a love?
I don't know. I don't think they've ever had a. I'm gonna say they've never had a romantic. Spark or whatever. I think it's always been there. Maybe more on her side than his side. Yeah. But he's kind of like this kind of tough.
He was propositioned by a pretty attractive Second Army woman there to sleep with her, and he turned her down. So,
right. So maybe his heart's for Alina as well.
Maybe
it goes both ways. So he gets enlisted, and then she wants to go with him. So she sabotages the maps, I guess they were going to use. And by sabotaging the maps, she then volunteers her crew of cartographers to go on the supply mission with them so she can be with Mal. And so for love, she sacrifices her whole team, who end up dying.
Well, I don't think she obviously didn't realize they were going to send her whole team.
Right? No.
And then she was kind of like, don't. What did I do? I just sacrificed all my friends.
Yeah. And they all end up dying.
And they all died.
And I wonder if the show's going to, that'll be a prediction of mine. Like, will the show even deal with that? Like, will she grieve? Will it just be like, oh, okay, moving on.
Whatever.
They
weren't that good friends of mine. They talked about me behind my back.
Yeah,
she didn't like my shoes.
I'm with Mal, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, so I'll be interested to see how they deal with the fact that she's just lost her whole crew. I'm assuming the show's not going to deal with it too much because they're just going to focus on the fact that she's a sun summoner. And that comes out at the very end when they're fighting all those creatures in the fold. The Volcron, it looks like they're going to be destroyed. Like there's no hope for the ship to survive. Well,
it's nothing but ultimate darkness. Yeah. And she's just this giant beacon of sunshine.
Right.
She's a giant ray of sunshine.
You're my shining ray of sunshine.
And yeah, we don't really know what happened, but they allude to she kind of...
She fucks people up.
Yeah, she kind of fucks everybody up.
So on the other side of the fold, off the coast.
See, that's what I didn't understand until actually I read your synopsis, that right. We were on both sides of the fold here.
And even
I thought for the longest time we were on the same side, but I guess I should have paid more attention.
No, I couldn't pick it up from watching the show. I had to do research. So you've got this other group that the episode's going to follow, and they're not just on West Ravka. They're actually on an island off the coast of West Ravka. In the island of Kerch, in a city called Ketterdam. And I guess it's kind of maybe seen as like maybe an industrial type city. Lots of a big, you know, it's a pretty big economy there. So you see, I don't know, do they work at a casino?
He owns a casino. This
Kaz Brekker.
This Kaz Brekker guy. Yeah.
But he also seems to run somewhat of a black market. He's obviously got these stolen arts. That's in his kind of...
I think he's kind of, borderline organized crime, right?
Yeah.
You know, and he's got his casino, he's got his crew. You know what I mean? They do jobs, you know, and maybe the casino's a bit of his, like, front, as they call him, or whatever. You know what I mean? Where he can launder his money or stolen goods or whatever, or it's just what it is. Gangsters
pedes.
Gangsters got casinos. I mean, that's kind of always been it, right?
Always is, always will be.
I think so.
So then he hears about a job, and his kind of competition, a guy named Pekka, which to me it sounds like they were just saying Pecker the whole time. Pecker is going for the job too, and he wants to get it first. So it includes finding a heart trender, which I'm not quite clear necessarily on that, other than the fact that heart trenders seem to have some pretty powerful magic on them, and they can control other people,
like ESPN kind of stuff, right?
ESPN, like the sports network.
No, like ESP, like they get into people's heads and stuff. Yeah. Like that.
I think so. They must be able to do that because she was able to like find a survivor of the passage through the fold. What like the last remaining friend of Alina.
And now you've got a note here that this heart render is a badass killer, but I didn't see her kill it.
No, she seemed like the opposite, like just like you. Like she seemed to like someone who could calm somebody and read their minds and let them speak their truth. But I guess a heart trender, when I Wikipedia'd it or did a little bit of research, they're also one of the most the strongest magic users in this realm. So they can suck the blood, the oxygen right out of somebody. They can just, you know, render someone useless, and maybe that will come out as we go along of the importance of why they need this heart to render. I guess maybe that's the only thing that can maybe kill the sun summoner. I'm not sure, because that's the job that Kaz is trying to go for with his team of thieves is to when he finds out at the very end is to like find that.
Well, they needed that heart render to get inside that survivor's head to find out what happened, right? To find out that there was a sun summoner. That's
sun summoner
twister, and then and then also who it was,
right? And I'm just thinking that maybe the sun summoner is going to, oh no, the heart trender is going to be have more use later on. Is maybe the hat now that you got the heart trender? Maybe the
maybe I think she'll be part of his crew now because she's been gone for over an hour now. So I mean, he might as well just
right. And the guy,
she's always saying, I got to be back in an hour.
When I think the guy that she was supposed to be back for is dead. Like, Pecker killed him. Pecker. The Pecker.
Oh, yeah, because there's mopping up her boss's floor. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I guess you're supposed to be pretty scared of this Peckerhead guy.
Peckerhead.
Pretty badass guy. But,
yeah.
I'm sure you'll see more of him when you finish the series.
A little opposition there for our Kaz group. Yeah, so obviously two different factions on either side of the fold. Most likely they're gonna connect. I bet you by episode two, Alina's crossed the fold and she's now on the west side of Ravka, and that's where we'll probably meet Ben Barnes character. Whew. It is a lot, isn't it? It's a lot
to kind of get your head jammed wrapped in around. And then it kinda ended and you sort of got it, but then you're also confused a bit too. So
yeah. I don't know, Sean, what did you think of it?
Let's rate this shit.
Okay.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
Boop, boop, boop. This is the part where we rate it. 1 out of 5 jarps. We don't believe in zeros because, you know, we believe in giving people at least a 1 for effort. 1 is horrible, 5 is awesome, and then there's all 2, 3, and 4 in between. I gave it 2 jarps.
Oh, classic Sean rating.
I'm sorry. Man, not sure if they were trying too hard or not hard enough, but I didn't feel engaged in the story. Either I wasn't engaged or I was getting lost and I was getting disengaged because I was lost, or you know what I mean, or vice versa. I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like they were trying a little too hard. And the only character I really liked was the crane guy, the crane kid. What was his name?
The guy with the cane?
The cane crane? The cane guy.
The crane cane.
The casino owner.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was kind of the only character
that you were interested in.
That had much depth
right.
to him. I mean, they're all right. But he had more than the others, I guess is what I'm getting at. And yeah, kind of, you know, like I said, I could have used an epilogue or a prologue or a prelogue or a pre-show or, you know.
Are you going to use this podcast?
A book of Cole's notes before getting into this. So, two. Yeah. I wasn't very interested in it. I was kind of waiting for it to end.
Oh, wow. I gave it a 3. I enjoyed it. I thought it had promise.
I didn't love it.
But there was, I got into the world and it inspired me to do a little bit of research. I was actually more engaged with the Alina storyline, on the east side. I was a little bit disengaged with the whole Kaz storyline. Cause I feel like I've seen this kind of, charismatic criminals, you know, with a higher code plot before. So I didn't get too much into it. So I enjoyed kind of the relationship of Alina and Mal and how that was kind of navigated. And I also really love the fact that she sacrificed her whole team and they all got obliterated. I liked that. I got my predictions are that obviously they'll meet up, Kaz and Alina. Will Kaz and Alina? Like, is Mal dead? Is like Mal kind of gets ravished by the these Volcras, and that's what kind of gets Alina all like upset, and I think that's where her power bursts out and she becomes as a Volcra swoops down with his claws, grabs onto Mal and starts to like lift off with him. She holds on and then burst of light. So I'm wondering,
she has like some sort of like healing powers, or something like
the Force. Like the Force can heal now.
Well, yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that till episode 9.
But it was also in a show that you aren't watching called The Mandalorian.
Okay.
They established it with the kid that he was able to heal, and then they used it in episode 9. Yeah.
Are you going to keep watching this? I guess you have to. You're making us watch.
That's right. Finish our things now. That's
right.
We have to finish our things. So I will continue watching this. You don't have to. And I'll report back on how this show is going.
Perfect. Because you already got me watching 30 coins.
Speaking of 30 coins, it's time for temperature check.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
So temperature check is when we look back at the shows that we've reviewed on this podcast. And hopefully we're still working through them. And usually the ones that we don't both really love, we divide and conquer. And sometimes we'll both watch the whole thing. Like, I'm sure we both completed Invincible. We can talk about that, which was last episode.
We did. Both finished it.
But in the meantime, Sean's been working on a couple shows, Mighty Ducks Game Changers and 30 yep. Coins.
30 Coins. I did. I watched the third episode. Just did you? You, Russ. I did.
You're not going to just read the synopsis online?
Nope. No, no cheating. Look at this. I'm not reading anything. It was about a mirror that this couple had, this kind of haunted mirror, and it would like show things behind it that weren't there in the real room, right? One of these things was the Book of Judas or something like that. I guess the Bible was written, and then a couple of these sort of spin-offs were written. There was like the Book of Judas and the Book of someone else and the Book of someone else. Anyways, and I think the story was that the Bible became popular, and then these other people had their story to tell, and they're like, I want to be popular too and write my Bible. I'm not sure.
After Cheers,
I flunked out of Sunday school. So
after Cheers got canceled, they created Kramer.
Editor's note: Russ meant to say Fraser instead of Kramer, and he feels really bad about it. So please forgive Russ and know that he meant to say Fraser instead of Kramer. Thank you.
After Cheers got canceled, they created
Fraser.
Right.
Right.
What does this have to do with what I'm talking about?
Well, the Cheers is the Bible. And
Fraser.
The Judas book.
Okay. I had my Pfizer shot today, so I think I'm not able to clue in there. Anyways, I'm just going to blame my stupidity.
You've been vaccinated. Pfizer. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Russ gets vaccinated tomorrow. So.
Right. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. My third arm. Very flat. For you. So yeah, magic mirror shows things in the background. Anyways, wasn't too much gore and stuff like the other ones. The only kind of real gory part was that the priest was brought face to face with that kid that he was exorcising that died, that he actually got the coin out of. So he was kind of like having a conversation with that ghost through the mirror, and he was sort of asking it for forgiveness, and it was kind of telling him that it'll never forgive him this and that. And
even the
again,
ghost
they wanted the coin. Again, they wanted the coin.
Right. Yeah. You got to get 30 of them by the end of the season. You got to get 30 coins.
Yeah. And what else happened? Oh, his like reflection, the priest's reflection, ended up grabbing the real priest and sucking him into the mirror, and they switch spots for a bit.
Is it evil priest? Is it like an evil?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like evil priest was out, and he was like hunting for the coin, and somehow he like wrangled the whole entire town against the mayor.
Paco the mayor.
All of a sudden, everybody was like under his control, and he was like brainwashed. But it wasn't, I don't know.
Clear. It wasn't clear.
It wasn't very clear.
He is very charismatic.
It was horrible. But I watched it, and I'll watch number four for you.
Yeah.
As well.
Keep going. And was the veterinarian in it? Was she there?
Yeah. Same. And again, he's friggin' running around town lying to his wife. And he finally kind of like gets busted. So bad mirror priest is kind of has the whole town in the church, and he's like, the mayor sucks. Oh, you guys put too much faith in him, and look, he's running around town with this woman being like
unfaithful
to his wife, and his wife's there in the church too, and she's kind of she's like, yeah, he does kind of suck, you know. At the end of the episode, she's kind of like, just come home. They kind of have this telephone conversation. Like, just come home, talking about it. But she kind of knows. So who knows where that storyline's going to go.
Oh, they'll probably milk it all away.
I don't know.
Will they, won't they? The whole season, I'm sure. It'd be gross. That's the worst part of that show for me. The weird violence and just the crazy storylines would be okay with me, but just that drama with the whole, it's just ridiculous. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Thanks, buddy, for watching that.
No worries.
It sounds like a cool, fun concept.
No.
I tried.
Hopefully the fourth one is just, I think I'd probably be more entertained if it was just stupid monster movie gore, like the first episode. But no, this third one slowed it down a bit, and still not doing it for me. Who knows? No. Maybe number four will.
Oh, yeah.
Did you keep up on the Mighty Duck Game Changers, or is that just me doing that?
Just you, I think, because I waited too long because I was waiting to record the podcast, and then we just kind of moved on with our life. So eventually I'll probably bring the kids back to it, but no, I didn't carry on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we watch it every Saturday. It's still our family Saturday thing until it's over. We'll be watching that one. So the kids like it. Again, that Nick kid's... What was it? Episode 7? It was episode 8 this week.
Nick the Stick.
He had a lot of really good lines in this week's one. So yeah, he's quite funny. I'm almost curious if he comes up with some of these lines himself.
Like he's just improvising?
Yeah, like maybe he's just like a really funny kid. Because some of the... I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the... He has great delivery. Maybe he's that witty. Yeah. I don't know. I hope so. I'd like to see this Nick kid do well. Yeah.
Nice.
We'll watch this young blossoming career. Hopefully, it turns into a great young, young comedian.
Are you putting down the gauntlet here?
No, I'm just hoping. You know?
Yeah. Let me.
You know, they make some movie and some kids movie, and Nick is the star. I don't know his real name. I'm calling him Nick, but
I'm gonna tell you his real name.
I'd probably watch it because he's pretty funny. He's charismatic. He's got good delivery.
It's like Maxwell Simpkins. Simpkins.
Is he a Canadian, or did they bring him up from the States?
He was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Ah, there you go.
So he has been he's been in quite a few things already.
Nice. I mean the it's not blowing our minds, the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, but it's got a good story, good follow through story about just having fun and you know, for the love of hockey, and when it turns to anything but, somebody within the episode kind of acknowledges it and brings everybody back down to earth. So yeah, it's good. It's good. And Invincible. So yeah.
Invincible.
You binged through it pretty quick. I binged through it pretty quick. Couple days.
Couple days.
It's good.
Do a couple episodes tonight. Yeah, it was really good.
Got better as it went on.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, for me, it just stayed the same. So I think I had it a little higher pedestal initially.
You liked it a little bit more than I did initially.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought it was good. I thought there's a part where let's not spoil this show, because I think people should.
Yeah, I guess we could spoil the first episode, but if we kept talking about, we could spoil the entire series for somebody, right?
But the first episode, we're like, why is this rated so high? Why is this for adults? And then suddenly the final minutes of the last episode, they're just
a woozy at the end of the first episode.
But there's another part in the series where one superhero takes another superhero and like makes them stand in front of a subway car. And then the subway train rips through them, and they just kind of stand there because they can't move.
They're both invincible. Yeah, and he's just getting this point of view of all these people like
just smashing into them
and dying and getting ripped. Oh,
that's
a brutal scene.
That was a brutal scene.
Who was that against? I don't want to ruin it. You've already said the scene. Who was?
Yeah, that's why you don't want to write. But it was crazy. Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I liked the ending. You know, you're definitely like, oh, season two. What the heck's gonna happen?
Well, and they set up so many different issues, right? There's like aliens now on the planet. There's a bunch of like, they set up all these little conflicts that they don't necessarily, because there's the main conflict and that's kind of what the whole series is about, but they set up these he goes on these little missions, and these each mission really never resolves itself, so there's still like these enemies walking around, and so hopefully they'll come back to him on future episodes. But yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
Guess we can't really talk about our predictions, because then that would ruin the show.
Yeah, no predictions.
Maybe a couple weeks, next podcast, we could circle back, and that would be like, hey, if you haven't finished it by now,
you're fucked.
Maybe.
Media Rewind?
Wait. Did you finish all the shows that you were supposed to? You finished Search Party, Liberator, okay.
Yeah, but now I've got a new one.
You've got to watch Shadow and Bone.
Shadow and Bone, right? So you're not alone. You don't have to do 30 coins.
Okay.
By yourself. I will also do Shadow Bones. Shadow and Bones.
I'll be back.
Media Rewind is when we look back at a film that has something to do with the show that we're talking about today, and that was the 1988 film Willow. Why did I pick Willow? I don't know. Somebody needs to save the day. I just read magic. The synopsis. Yeah. There's magic in Willow, like there is like an evil force, and they had to like save the baby that was prophesied to, like, that was going to take down the magic and defeat the evil sorcerer. And I think that's the same with this movie.
Willow, 1988. Mm-hmm. It's a new fantasy world story by George Lucas. Like, it's not based on a book or anything like that. Not really overly complicated like Shadow and Bones, but still, you know, like we're in a new universe. What the heck's going on? There's a little paragraph at the very beginning, a little epilogue.
Exactly what you needed.
Exactly what I needed for me to understand this strange new world. And just give me a little bit of taste or understanding of what's going on. You know what I mean?
Audiences weren't prepared for it yet. You know, the mainstream audience wasn't prepared, but now the mainstream audience has gone through Game of Thrones. They've watched Lord of the Rings. They've, you know, they're willing to dive right into a fantasy world, maybe more so than they were in the 80s.
Our main man Warwick Davis. Is in this. You've also known him from such favorite things as Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, as
he was Wicket. Yes, yeah, our favorite Ewok. Yeah. I believe. I didn't do research, but I'm just kind of going off memory. I think he played R2-D2 as well.
No. Another guy played R2-D2.
Okay.
Yeah, because like the same two dudes like played R2-D2 and 3CPO and like didn't really get along, I think was the funny like behind the scenes thing. Like they didn't have the best of relationship. it was two different actors who played those. But yeah, but Warwick Davis played Wicket, and I think there was a couple like made for TV movie, like Ewok movies that he played Wicket again in those.
Yeah, they're on the Disney's released them now. You can watch them on the Disney Channel.
Those cool.
Yeah. Like The Return to Endor.
Right.
Yeah, those made-for-TV movies that we watched as kids, they're on Disney Plus right now.
Interesting, because I think that would be... I think I remember loving them as a kid, but I feel like if I watched them now, I probably would hate them.
I got 10 minutes into it, man. Kids... Yeah, I was like, I had it on one early Sunday morning, and they finally came down, and they're like, Daddy, what are you watching? I was like, oh, I'm just getting nostalgic, watching some old Star Wars, and like they got 5 minutes into it. They're like, turn this off!
Yeah.
Put on Kate Patowski!
Warwick Davis has been in 7 different Star Wars films.
Just doing all sorts of different characters and roles that he needs. Some exactly. in full costume, and some he's just Warwick Davis, right?
Exactly.
He was in Phantom Menace just as him, no makeup on, just jumping up and down, I think. I remember seeing him somewhere. It was more like a cameo, though, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a lot of, like, he was in all the 7, 8, and 9 as well, just as different characters, I guess.
And Val Kilmer is really good in this movie, man. He's quite enjoyable.
He's amazing.
Tombstone is probably his tour de force as Doc Hollywood, or Doc Holliday, sorry. But this, you know, and probably I bet, obviously Iceman and Top Gun.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that role is going to, go down as his best acting role, but probably one of his most iconic roles.
Right.
Anyways, but as far as the acting is concerned, he's really good in this movie. Yeah, he's very charismatic. He's great. I remember watching this movie in the theater, my parents taking me to see this, and it was just a wicked theater experience. It was great. It was great as a kid, that's for sure.
This is, 1986 was, Top Gun. So this is a couple years after that. And his, at this point, I assume like his career is just skyrocketing. Like he'll be like Jim
Morrison
at the
peak here,
in the Door. Yeah. Well, he does the Doors in 1991.
Okay.
He does Heat in 1995.
Ooh.
And then he does Batman Forever in 1995 as well. And I probably think that's kind of like,
so Heat was
going
probably
down.
The pinnacle.
Yeah.
Of his career and everything else after Heat was
right. And I think Island of Dr. Moreau in 1996 pretty much like tanked him for a long time.
I think probably tanked just about everybody that worked on that movie.
I don't think it was a happy movie set. A couple of what's happening now. Val Kilmer is playing Iceman in the new Top Gun movie when that comes out.
Oh, he's actually reprising his role?
He's credited. He's got a credit in internet
movie database. Oh, he does not. I wonder how much CG. He does not look good these days.
I don't know.
He put him side by side top with Tom Cruise. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
He probably won't want to be there.
Well, hopefully he's just like maybe at a paper pusher administrator working behind that.
Or
a desk or something like that. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
it's just the voice.
Giving Maverick some advice halfway.
Yeah,
the third act somewhere. You know,
maybe
I don't know what to do. I gotta call Iceman.
Yeah. Maybe he's like reprising his Elvis and True Romance, just kind of in the corner of the screen. You got this.
When I was doing Ron Howard research for Parenthood, it came up that he's got some sort of Willow series in development.
Right. So that was the Nether news. 2022, Disney Plus, 5 episodes of...
And Warwick Davis is in it.
And Warwick Davis is in it.
So he missed... If he still looks half decent, he's probably just... Being Willow, right?
No, he is. Yeah, he's playing Willow.
Yeah, he's just playing. Willow. Yeah,
he's playing the titular character.
Not Wicket. He's playing Willow.
Yeah, Yeah. And I think they had a director, but the director could no longer do it. The guy that did Crazy Rich Asians, but he was no longer able to do it. So I think maybe Ron Howard is coming in for maybe one or two episodes to direct. And he did that for Solo, so we know how well that went. So who knows? Maybe, knock on wood, hopefully it's good.
A couple great lines from this movie that I like to still use to this day. One I use with my little girls is, "Willow, turn me back into my human form."
Willow.
They're like, "Dad, what are you talking about?" I was like, and I like, "Willow, turn me back into my human form."
Yeah, it's
and,
a great.
And out of the way, Peck.
Yeah.
Out of the way, Peck. I say that to my kids. I like push them out of the way. Out of the way, Peck. Like, it sounds so derogatory, yet it means nothing. But, you know.
Well, I guess that's what they were. That was the race.
Well, that's Peck. What it was. It was supposed to be like
a instead of hobbits. Term, but, yeah. Oh, was it a derogatory term for
a Nywin?
Oh, okay.
Nywin, whatever the race of short person is.
So you are being rude when you tell your kids to get it out of your way.
Yeah, yeah. Out of the way, Peck. Kick them down the stairs.
I forgot how much I really enjoyed that whole village and just that whole, like, when I thought back of my memories of it, it's more of like them on the shield tobogganing down the hill and the end battle. And that's what I kind of remembered. But I really enjoyed like just the quieter moments, the family moments back
a bit
in
of
the
setup there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought they did a really good job. Yeah.
Yeah. For 1988, it was great. It was totally believable. And
yeah.
You know, the giant pig instead of some sort of a horse because of the size difference. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. And the characters were fun too.
So good.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, Willow, and then he's got his buddy. So, you know, you've got the Frodo and Sam, obviously,
right.
You know, and then you've got the other fellowship, you know, the big jerk guy, Bucklecut or whatever his name is. They don't last too long in the journey, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
And I swear the African American actor in the sort of war party or whatever, I swear is the same guy from Bad Santa.
Oh,
I wonder. Just years and years earlier. He looks just like him. I swear it is. It's a young Bad Santa guy. So story through a 2021 lens. Great. I mean, like, it's a story. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And we'll always stand up. The visual effects, not so much.
No.
But I guess the good thing about this movie is that there's not an overabundance of special effects.
No, they don't rely on it to, it's just fun at the end with the two
headed. There's the early use of the morphing when Willow's turning him back into a human form.
Right.
You know, one of the first movies to use that morph technique where they kind of liquefy from one organic animal to another. And the start stop two headed monster
right.
in the battle in the end didn't quite hold up. But everything other than that,
yeah.
It was great. Costumes, the battles was great. The shield down the mountain. I mean,
yeah.
It's the toboggan ride on the shield.
Iconic.
Down. Yeah, that was great. Great.
So,
and the brownies, you got your nice little comedic, the little mini
right.
guys, the little brownies guys.
Right.
Yeah, they brought in the little.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak was one of those guys. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot all about that too.
We go that way.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm the leader here. Okay. We go that way.
And he's like, he's got the fairy dust and he sees the cat. He's like, "You're beautiful." Just some nice, funny moments.
Yeah.
I see here. Yeah. You got a note here. It's budget 35, made 137. So
yeah, big hit.
Success for 1988. You know, you extrapolate that these days, that's a $500 million movie, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ron Howard did Splash 1984, Cocoon 1985. Just like, he's killing it.
He made some iconic 80s movies.
Yeah.
Great movie. Go watch Willow. Now, I was going to watch this with my kids, and then I decided not to. Now, I watched this when I was quite young.
I watched it with my kids.
I was probably 188. So we were nine years old when this came out. But I'm not sure if my 8-year-old is ready for this. I don't know. How did your kids handle? I'm worried about the dogs and the trolls and I guess the two-headed monster. I guess if you watch this during the day, you might be okay.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of...
just prior to bedtime, I almost wanted to do it for family movie night last night. I'm like, I could see them having bad dreams about some of the imagery watching it before bed.
Yeah, I'm trying to... because I did back-to-back with a couple of these fantasy-type movies. And I think Willow, they had an okay time with. It was another movie that I can't remember that we watched that they had more of maybe... some images they couldn't get out of their head.
Yeah, well, my kids made it through the never ending story. I thought we were going to have to turn it off when the horse died.
Right.
But they plowed through it. They massaged through it. I hope they'd like Willow because, it's a fun adventure.
It's a good story. Yeah.
It is. The only gripe I have about it is that it's an action adventure movie and I feel the first action sequence doesn't come in until about, I think it's 30, 40 minutes into the movie.
So, but that time you care about the characters and you're actually invested in the action.
This is
which is good.
This
I think is true. Good. Versus just mindless action. And you're like, yeah, okay. So unless it's a brand new stunt, like someone...
I'm going with kids, though. Attention. I think my point I'm getting at is the younger.
But there's so many fun things happening in the village, and they love the kids, like his kids, like his.
Okay.
And they were like, "Oh, they're so cute." so they love that part.
They're pretty cute. They were pretty cute kids.
So there's a lot of comedic elements there.
When the mad dogs break up the party in the village.
Oh, that was scary.
And the little girl's standing there crying. Crying like for real.
They took her parents off set.
They did something there because she's crying for real. That's not acting. And I was kind of like, I wonder how they wonder what they did to make her lose it like that. So poor little girl.
Oh yeah. No, I think
you did a great job, little girl.
I can recall my kids getting a little bit upset that scene for sure.
And I had to. I just think those dogs are a little scary. Yeah. But.
And then when I was 9, my dad made me watch Willow.
My babysitter showed me Thriller when I was 5 years old, and it fucked me up forever. I slept in my parents' room for a year. My mom said, "Yeah, a year,
a year."
A year I slept in their room. Because
you knew he was a pedophile back then.
Must have, because he scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
No, it was the werewolf scene at the beginning that did it for me.
It wasn't the licking your ass part.
No, I was fine with him licking my ass. It was the That's not funny. When he got all furry and shit, it started getting all weird, you know? He started wanting to wear this furry costume and put on these long nails and shit. I wasn't down with that.
Hey, okay, this is stargazing. This is when we talk about what we're obsessing about, watching, excited about outside of this podcast. Sean, what are you stargazing?
Well, you've never seen it yet. And I might pick it. I don't know how I'm going to pick it, though, because they're short episodes. Now, would you have to watch the whole thing or just one?
Right. This is the robot Netflix thing?
Love, Death, and Robots just came out on Friday.
Right. And they're kind of like little one-offs, aren't they?
Yeah. It'll be about eight short stories. Nah, you know what? I'll keep that for myself. I don't know if it's quite your cup of tea. Well, it could be. The animation would be, but
yeah, I think I've seen a couple of the old ones.
Can be quite gory.
Oh, gross.
I don't know. Yeah, but I'm super excited for it, so we'll see. Yeah. There's a couple other things that are out right now that I think I might pick too.
Yeah, there's lots of shows coming out right
now. That Jupiter Rising came out. I was thinking about picking that, but again, it's another superhero. Adult, you know, it was okay. I binged it.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Not as good as Invincible.
No, no Invincibles. Right. And not as good as The Boys. And again, it's just kind of, they put a kind of a different take on it. Like they found their superpowers through kind of like a an adventure back in the day, you know, a secret island. But there's tons of stuff they don't explain that I'm sure they're going to have to get into volume two to explain. I'm hoping anyways, because yeah, it's okay. It's yeah. okay.
Yeah.
I don't know quite so much about the art direction on it. Like they've got Josh Hamill. He's got like this long, like Jesus / Santa Claus hair going on. And although I'm not really one for people rocking the man buns, you know, it would just probably would have looked a lot better if he just tied his hair up throughout the show. Instead, it's like falling through his face. And right. it looks like he hasn't showered. It's all greasy. And he's supposed to be like the iconic, you know, he's Superman, like the most powerful superhero of them all. And it looks like he just kind of hasn't showered in forever. And
right.
Yeah, he looks like...
You didn't believe it.
No, Kurt Cobain in his worst days.
Oh, interesting.
I know. Anyways, it's okay. It's okay. And then parent movie night. We don't have a show to watch yet. I'm hoping I change that with my pick. But we watched My Octopus Teacher, the documentary. Right. It was excellent.
Academy Award winning.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very heartwarming story about a man and his sort of 1 year experience with the ocean and his octopus friend that he met.
You've evolved from Seaspiracy.
Yeah, well, there's no eating. There's no right. eating of fish or octopi
right.
in this thing. This is about preservation and observation only.
Right.
And only interacting when invited to.
Right. So,
but there's some really special moments between him and this octopus that just, it's just makes your jaw drop. It's a really amazing relationship that he had with this really amazing animal, you know, just amazing.
Hmm.
Really cool. Really eye-opening. I knew very, very little about
octopi.
Octopi. But yeah, it's great. Very heartwarming.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, very cool. Nice.
Well,
very
I'm sure nice. We'll watch that soon.
Yeah. I talk too much. You tell me. What's going on?
Ever since completing Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I went back to watch Captain America Winter Soldier.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, now I need to go back and watch the first Avenger movie. Okay. So now I'm kind of halfway through the first Avenger movie. So that's...
Are you like trying to pick up on a plot point
or something? Yeah, I guess so. Missed? Just trying to see the evolution of the characters, trying to see...
Of which one, though?
Mainly Captain America. And like
is this the timeline of the Marvel universe that you're doing now?
No, I'm just going back as I'm being inspired. Like back, I'm going backwards.
You're not going in any particular order. You're
no,
just,
I'm you're just trying
Captain
to
Captain America. You're like I'm gonna go. To
I'm trying to follow the Captain America storyline more so, okay. If anything. So trying to like see him in, and I probably will watch the first Avenger again. Though I feel like I have seen that recently, but. Just to see the initial relationship between him and Bucky Barnes and then, but just trying to see just how he became, how the Avengers started again. Anyways, silly, goofy stuff, easy, leave your brain at the door.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it. That's what I've been doing. The wife and I have been watching Mayor of Easttown on the HBO, and I'd recommend if you guys are looking for a show, let's get into that one. It's a nice little whodunit murder mystery. And I just noticed that The Sound of Metal dropped on the Crave.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch that pretty quick here. So I'm excited to watch
Sound of Metal. That looks good. That looks good. What a drummer that loses his hearing and mm-hmm. just tries to cope with it.
Yeah. I've been thinking about, because I said yes to the Apple so I could watch Ted Lasso off your recommendation. And now I've never watched anything since on Apple TV.
There's that Cherry movie I want to watch with Tom Holland.
And I've heard it's not too good.
No? Oh, it's too bad. Problem. The trailer makes it look really good.
Makes it look amazing. And it's the Anthony Brothers or whatever those guys, same guys that did Captain America Winter Soldier. So yeah, you'd think that they know how to make a good movie, but I heard it wasn't maybe as good as one hoped. But there's also a new show called The Mosquito Coast, which I might try.
Ooh, like... there's an old movie called The Mosquito Coast.
Oh, maybe it's about the...
It's about a doctor searching for medicine and shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know what this is about. Justin Thurlow, isn't it? I like him. He's good. And then I noticed also that there's going to be a season 9 of Dexter coming out.
What? I thought they ended that shit.
Yeah, they did end it. Now they're bringing it back.
Enough fans liked it enough that there's enough interest to do another. I heard it ended horrible.
The last two seasons were terrible. It was a terrible. It became like a show I actually despised near the end. I'm just like, this show went from like being a really cool show to being terrible. And now they're rebooting it, unfortunately.
And and because of that, I have no interest in even starting to watch it, knowing that it just ends horrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
I start something that's going
to
end like...
I could tell you exactly what season to stop watching, and then you could just know kind of how the whole series ended. So if you want to start watching the...
Okay. But
there is like some really cool storylines. Like the first few seasons are really good. But then there's a certain point where it just kind of... The John Lithgow season, I can't remember... Which season is that? But watch up to the John Lithgow season, and then as soon as that one's done, then stop, and then I'll fill you in what happens, and then you can start the new season,
after I finish 30 coins.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Lots to do. All right, buddy, that's Stargaze, and that's it.
That was good.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, yeah. It. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks, eh?
Okay.
Have a good one, eh?
Okay.
You take care of yourself, eh?
Yeah, hey, and all you guys, don't forget to leave comments, give us some feedback. We have no idea how we're doing here.
We're doing terribly.
Probably. Jason, email us and tell us how we're doing, all right?
Yeah, no, he texted us once and he said very positive things, but he's biased and you can't trust anything he says.
Nothing.
Shout out to Jason. Shout out to Richie Rich. Shout out to... Anyone else? Your boss who will never listen to this?
Maybe he's listened to it. David, have you listened to this yet?
David, if you've listened to this,
Tyler chimes in.
Oh, that's right, of course.
Ty, the comic guy. We gotta get him on the. We gotta find an episode.
He just gets frustrated.
The comic guy.
He gets frustrated when we get our facts wrong.
Yeah. Maybe he should make a list. And then
we'll
bring him on the show. And
what we said wrong. Yeah.
Can you correct us now?
Right. And he just like tears us a new one. Like, okay, he would bring him on for 5 minutes.
Yeah. At 15:37 mark. Yeah. Sean, you mentioned Superman's name.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd be into that.
Okay, Tyler. You're on it.
Yeah. Or you could, and he could just pre-record it and then you could send it to him and then we could just play it and then we react to it after that. Like you would. Right. I mean, there's many ways we could do it. Whatever's easier for the person who edits this podcast.
Okay, man. Well, good luck with your vaccine. I feel fine.
Oh, thank you. Great.
My arm's just a tiny bit tender right now. But other than that, I feel fine.
Yeah, I see your Band-Aid there. That's pretty
A little stupid, but I think that's not from the vaccine.
You feel stupid, not from the vaccine. Because are just stupid saying, in real life.
Yeah, I don't think it's from the vaccine. I think it's because I'm naturally stupid.
But you always have felt that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's nothing new. So you feel fine.
That's what I'm saying. Pfizer or not.
Pfizer are stupid. No, thanks, buddy. Love you, bud.
Love you too.
See you next time.
See you next vaccine.
See.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.
Fraser, Seinfeld. God bless. Enjoy the rest of the show.